We got one!
Jeez, you gotta do that. I'm right here.
Why? We're needed.
Let's roll.
Conductor, can I come out? Computer estimates arrival of Venture Compound in T-minus 2 minutes. Prepare for separation.
We are go for separation.
Separation in 3, 2, 1. Conductor Psycho, comm link system test. Do you copy, White Leader?
Copy that, Blue Leader. Over.
This is the best $10 million we ever spent. Over.
That's a big 10-4. Over.
Approaching Venture Compound. Prepare for Conductor Psycho module reintegration rendezvous.
Conductor 1, ready for rendezvous.
Conductor 2, ready for rendezvous. Rendezvous in 3, 2, 1.
Rendezvous successful.
Brothers podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Nicholas Batman Friedemann.
I am the Bat.
I think I've done Batman before, but it just felt right.
It did. I liked it.
That's the Easter Sunday nickname for Nick. It just makes sense.
Oh, we'll do Tim Drake. I'm Tim Drake Batman.
That one also works. Or Jason Todd, or Damian Wayne, or...
Yes.
But I've done enough Robins, so I didn't want to do another Robin. We also have Graham, Mr. Terrific Mason.
Hello. I am Mr. Terrific.
Okay, he's not that deep of a pull. I mean, he might be a little bit, but you should at least know who Mr. Terrific is, right? Right?
He's
got a big T on his face.
Oh, yeah. I could sketch him from memory right now.
Maybe text me a picture of that when you're done with it, Nick.
You got it.
I didn't think he was that deep of a pull, but oh well.
Says the man who has probably literally 1,000 comics in his house at the moment.
I could look at my app. I have them counted. I think I have about 1,400, but yeah. That's not that many for most comic book collectors. Like, that's a small collection.
I have maybe one.
Well, I have,
and it's probably borrowed
from me.
Probably.
Well, you should read more comics. They're good reads.
Yeah.
Well, I'll lend you some books with Mr. Terrific in it. He's a pretty good character. Or you can just watch the CW. He's on that too. Like, he's everywhere. He's not that deep of a pull, goddammit. So here we are in the back half of season 4. If you listened to last week, I think we're all pretty happy to be here. Not that the front half was bad, as we said. But here we go. We're starting off with Diving Bell versus the Butter Glider. And before we kind of get too deep, I'm going to come out swinging with, might be a controversial opinion, I love the back half of season 4, but I think they put their worst foot forward. I think every episode after this is significantly better. I don't think this is a bad episode by any stretch, but out of all of them, I think this one has the most problems.
Yeah, I was wondering how you guys were going to weigh in on this versus everything else, because, like, I think this also has similar problems with the last episode, last week's episode, where it's like, There's some good moments in this episode, but it's definitely not throughout the whole episode.
No.
Nope.
I could watch this episode. I could watch this scene with a conjecture cycle detaching it and reattaching all day and laugh every time. And then there's, like, another 5 minutes of the episode of just, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could watch the conjecture cycle. I cannot watch the butter glider.
Oh my god, I hate the butter glider.
Okay. Let's talk about the conjecture cycle for
Hold on. Let's do the breakdown, and then we'll dive right into the conjecture cycle, because I agree, we need to get into that. I believe it's my turn, but as a punishment to Graham for not mentioning when it was his turn, he has to go again.
Hooray! Everybody, strap yourselves in. We're going on a paragraph of me reading. So again, shout out to Brock. Wonderful notes. Thank you for making me look like less of an idiot, but more of an idiot at the same time.
Well, that's what you get for not speaking up when it was your turn.
I mean, I didn't you know, I was just going with the flow, and it seemed like you guys really wanted to do those breakdowns, so I just didn't want to
start reading, bitch.
Monarch and Dr. Mrs. the Monarch celebrate a recently released from prison's King Gorilla's birthday. Dr. Venture is suddenly paralyzed, with the Venture submarine missing. They go to Sphinx to use their submarine to go on a fantastic voyage or interspace style trip into Rusty's body to find the source of the problem, forcing Sphinx to join in because the boy's long-term memories are being affected by the constant brainwashing every time they find Sphinx headquarters again. Inside Venture, Brock, Shoreleave, Hank, and Dean discover a clot formed by the X-3, Venture's submarine, with the corpses of the 7th Hank and Dean at its helm. Brock and the boys take the X-3 while Shoreleave leads back out. Elsewhere, the Monarch has become overly attached to his Butterglider, a new butterfly-themed personal flying device, leading 21 and the rest of everybody to go on an unofficial attack on the Venture compound, with only Hatred to stop them. With Hatred subdued, the Monarch joins them and lords over his still unconscious Venture, who, thanks to the X-3 within him, attacks the Monarch. The Monarch takes Venture outside when Hatred uses the shrink ray on them, making Venture a giant. Venture's weight proves too much for the Butterglider to carry out, to carry the body, and the glider crashed to the earth. A stunned Monarch sits next to the smash glider, wondering what happened. Above him, the Sphinx submersible, now full size, teeters at the edge of Dr. Venture's eye. It falls off Venture's face onto a stunned Monarch. Afterward, the Venture, back at normal size, Brock, Hank, and Dean are still trapped in Dr. Venture's body. Somewhere below the belt. That's basically it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all of it. Way to go, Brock, and, you know, as always, way to read, Graham. Way to read. But let's dive right back into where Nick wanted to start with this and the Butterglider. Take it away, Nick.
Oh, I just want to talk about the bike. What's the bike called again?
Oh, the Conjecture Cycle.
Conjecture Cycle. I was just watching it, and I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, this is so funny, and this is so goofy. And then it just occurred to me, I was like, Billy and Pete are terrible with money.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Just terrible. How it cost, what, they said like $10 million or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Holy shit.
Which is exactly the check that they got from... Yeah. Whoever that was.
Oh, it was secretly
GCI.
The guild. Yeah.
Yeah.
From GCI.
Oh, insanity. I was like floored. I was like, wow. Okay. This explains so much.
The best $10 million we've ever spent. And then they crash it into a fountain.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And don't forget, like these are the people who eventually buy Robobo. Like, they just do not understand money. It is just not a thing for them. Or they wouldn't be living in a trailer with a $10 million check and the world's most expensive motorcycle.
Well, not anymore. At the end of this episode, they
well, that's
you know,
true.
Or in last week's episode, they move in.
That's true. But man.
Oh, boy.
Not just, good with money.
No.
But then on that flip side, neither is the Monarch. And, like, the Monarch
had,
like... So I read the book on this one because I've been trying to do that more, and I was very curious because it seemed like everyone was just really on board for this Butterglider, like behind the scenes, and then the episode came out, and I feel like I don't think we're alone with going like, I don't get it, like it just didn't work.
It's not the Butterglider in itself. The Butterglider in itself is great. It's the
I guess.
No, I think it's awesome, and I think it's totally something that he would want.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it came out of the idea that what would the Monarch dress up as for Halloween. Oh, he'd definitely dress up as the Green Goblin. So they gave him a glider just like the Green Goblin. I mean, that's where it came from. So it makes sense that it's a cool thing because it was cool for the Green Goblin or Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
I don't remember which, but it probably both.
Both.
Definitely both.
But it's just how it was introduced. And it's like, yuck. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for 21. Yeah. He should have his body armor, you know?
Yeah, well, like 21's proved time and time again that he is the guy to spend money on, and then he goes and buys this thing, and I think it'd be fine, but I think they are kind of going for like it'll be funny the more we hit them over the head with it. Like if we just keep going after it, it'll be funny. Like the repetition idea of like comedy, which is sometimes it works, and for me it's like by the time we're listening to that song, like the Aladdin song, or I don't even remember what other ones are referencing in that.
Yeah.
I'm just so out. Like, I'm just, I don't care.
Well, yep. What's super, super strange to me is I think that there are a handful of characters in the Venture Brothers that we can easily relate to, right? Like, yeah. Hank, I think that we can easily relate to. I think Dean, we're supposed to almost not relate to, and that somehow makes him relatable. Like, I don't think I've ever been as obsessed with some of the stuff that Dean is obsessed with. Not even close, but I've been obsessed with things. So it's not, like, specific examples, but Hank is, like, very specific things. I'm like, yep, that I remember being obsessed with.
Yeah, for sure.
With the Monarch, I feel often his absurdity and his extravagance and kind of, like, his level of passion about things, I'm like, yes, I find that relatable, but I also am like, I get why he would want a lightning cannon. A lightning cannon sounds cool. I get why he would want this flying cocoon. The flying cocoon makes sense. That's cool. And it's like, but why the butter glider? Like, there's just some sort of weird thing that I look at and I'm just like, I don't get it. Especially because in the last episode, they establish a flying car. Why do you need a flying car, sidecar, extra motorcycle piece thing that isn't cool? Like, it,
yeah,
it's weird. It's a
because
very
his dad
weird.
Had one.
Oh, right. My eyebrows are wiggling. You can't see it.
But yeah, I agree with you, because it just, I think it's the whole, like, why, and then why does he get so obsessed with it? Like, don't get me wrong, like, take the song out of the episode, and it's a funny song. Like, the fact that they wrote it in, like, no time, the guy basically didn't know the melody when singing it, so he just gave it a whirl. Like, all that kind of shows, and it's funny, but in the episode itself, since it's already referred to as a kitchen sink episode, like, all these are great ideas, let's just chuck them in there. It feels kind of like, why are we spending so much time in this butter glider? Like, forgive me, I'll make another Game of Thrones reference. In the first episode of the current season, why am I spending 10 minutes watching Jon on a dragon? Like,
because they had to fly near Harry Potter.
Yeah. But it's the same thing here. It's like, why am I spending 3 minutes with a song about the butter glider, which I'm a Venture Brothers fan, and I'm deep in the show. I know this thing isn't going to be around longer than this one episode.
Yeah. And even bringing it into their bedroom. Like, what the fuck? Like, the only reason I can think is to get all the minions out to the Venture compound.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, and the bedroom part is actually what bothers me the most. The song, I'm kind of like, fine. All this kind of stuff, I'm like, okay. The bedroom part is the most confusing to me because either it's one of two things. I'm either trying to identify or empathize with him because I'm like, I have also loved something that much that you want to go to bed with it, right? Like, if you're a kid, it's like a stuffed animal, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, but this is a giant thing that I honestly I don't get. Like, I just don't really see the appeal of it. So that doesn't work. Or it has to be something that's so clearly the opposite of that, where everybody is looking at it going, that's so alarmingly stupid. That's such a bad purchase that you're like, oh, okay. And I think that they try and hedge their bets and make it both. And I think that's part of why it feels weird to me.
Yeah, it could be. Because honestly, I'd say everything outside of this, I still think works. But I feel like it's one of those where, like, the A and the B story, like, I wish had been more... I wish the A and the B had worked together better. Because this one, they don't really come together until the very, very end. Where basically, Dr. Mist and the Monarch kind of tricks 21 into inspiring the Monarch to stop caring about the butter glider.
Right.
Which, again, like, I love seeing how smart she is whenever she kind of has one of those moments. And, like, knowing where she ends up in the guild. I love these moments because they're really kind of laying the groundwork of she is so much better at this than anyone else in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Which they'll definitely put out there later.
What'd you say?
But it's like, which they'll definitely feed off of later. Like,
oh, yeah,
how good she is about everything. But, I mean, she even says it in this episode of like, whoa, 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 like in the bedroom scene. Like, I thought this was like a midlife crisis thing, but this is weird.
They've made a name for what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you got to put labels on things? Which is kind of like a funny... you know, interaction between the two, but she definitely puts, I think, too fine a point on it to, like, yeah, what the fuck is happening here? Like, yeah, I get that he's obsessed about this thing, but he's also obsessed about her. He's also obsessed about Dr. Venture. Like, why is the butter glider now this thing, this super crazy obsession? It's just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't believe it, and I don't like it, and it's just, yeah, and exactly what you said. It's like, I know it's only going to last the rest of this episode, and this is the last time we're ever going to see it.
Yeah.
But let's kind of move past that a little bit and kind of into like what I think really works about this episode. And that's mostly the boys and Brock going on an adventure again. But before we get too far into that, I want to give a little bit of love to the opening of the episode of how well 21 is doing, driving, like hunting them down. And then just the Hank on the fucking gun trying to shoot down the thing. And then he runs out of ammo and just like, I'm out of gun food. Like, and the entire opening sequence I thought was fantastic. Like, I love everything from the, is he conscious? Half. He's half conscious.
Like, he's semi-conscious?
No, half of him is conscious. Like,
so good.
Yeah, the opening is great. But then everything from there, from him getting kicked out of the hospital for not having insurance, that's very rusty. And then always calling Billy and Pete. That all makes sense. But I love the idea of doing a Fantastic Voyage. Like, I think that is such a cool, funny, very Venture Brothers thing to do. And I found it even funnier that they wanted to do it back in season one. But when they're about to do it, C-Lab 2021 did it. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we should just wait because we don't want to just copy them.
Yeah. And I like the montage of doing the whole thing of, you know, shrinking them and doing the thing and doing the injection, and then immediately afterwards this White pulls the syringe out of Dr. Venture's neck. He was like, wow, that was easy.
Yeah.
I love that.
I also love the when they find the sevens, just that one line, and I'll repeat this line again at the end, but I had to bring it up here because I want to dive into it a little bit. So that's what happened to the sevens. That there's so much story in that one line. Like,
for sure.
What did you think happened to them? Was this ever an option? Were you ever close to guessing what happened to the sevens? Like, you don't seem that surprised by finding them, but you are definitely surprised. So what the fuck? What happened to the sevens? this is where they ended up. How did they get there?
Exactly. This is the thing that I find so, like, interesting, and this is one of the things that I love the most about the Venture Brothers, is that they'll do things like this so that they can maybe go back to it later, maybe not, but it's just like, huh, okay.
This is such a good, like, why? And I also love that, like, again, reading the book, the main reason the sevens are there is a callback to when they wanted to do it in season one. Like, oh, maybe we just did it and just didn't do an episode on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. It's like, Jesus. Oh, it's a good show. But I love everything in the whole Fantastic Voyage. I love the art of it. I love them in their, like, their scuba suits with their big laser guns trying to get the blood clot out. Like, all of it is just like, it's just that pulpy fun that I love about this show, and they do a really good job with it throughout. At least in this storyline.
I even love the journey there when the boys, and then finally Shore Leave, are making operation jokes.
Oh, yeah. And just like that stopped being funny like half an hour ago. It'll come back around.
We just keep doing it. And then Shore Leave, just to put a point on it, because you're like, well, there goes his funny bone. Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah, I love all that. But it's kind of like another thing with the show where it's like, I love this. There's not really a lot to talk about, though.
Yeah, because it is a Monster of the Week episode, right?
Yeah.
But it's more like an Adventure of the Week. It feels actually more reminiscent to things that you would see in, like, Johnny Quest, or to a certain extent, like, the Magic School Bus. But, like, it's
true.
It's, I think, a really good episode, because the whole time I was watching it, I was like, man, I don't remember a lot of this, but I'm really enjoying it. Shore Leave is great. Like, everybody's really good. I guess it's just kind of pushed aside by the stupid butter glider.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird, like I'm going through Brock's notes as I'm looking at this, and Brock was way more favorable in this episode than we are. That's one of his favorites. He loves it. And I've kind of gotten that feeling from a few people when I was doing a little research into getting ready for this. This one is definitely one of the more divisive episodes, and I think it's entirely the Butterglider's fault, but I don't think the Fantastic Voyage really lands for a lot of people either, especially if you weren't a fan of that movie or didn't really know what movie they're referencing. I feel like this one is just one of their more... Unfortunately, like, it just didn't land for everybody. It's also unfortunate that all three of us are firmly on the not landing side, so we don't really get the full spectrum of why people enjoy this. But I will bring up one of my favorite things in the episode, which is the running joke of nobody told the monarch why they're going to King Gorilla's party.
Yes.
It's just so monarch. It's just that nobody told me. Like, oh, it's so good. Well, so did we mention it in the breakdown? I don't think we did. Did we?
No, we did not mention King Gorilla. I was gonna bring it up if you weren't.
Okay, yeah.
No, King Gorilla. King Gorilla. But yeah.
Yeah, I love King Gorilla. I think he's a fantastic character, and I just mostly because of his voice acting and everything. But when he shows up, it's like I think the monarch thought they're going to a birthday party or maybe like a get out of jail party.
Yeah.
And so he shows up with a fucking carton of cigarettes because he used to smoke, and then he gets there and finds out that he has gotten out of the hospital and he is dying of lung cancer. It's like, oh, Monarch.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. And just his reply of, nobody told me, that's not good enough, man. That's you're blaming everybody else. You're the asshole here. Just say I'm sorry. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Shit.
He should have not let him open up the present. That's what he should have done. He should have just been like, you know what? I'll bring you something else later.
Like a box of cigars. Ha 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 ha.
Oh, sorry.
You're not going to like this present.
Yeah. Also, I'd like to point out that Scorpio, that scorpion guy, is at the party.
And his legs work. So he works. He's not dead. Good for him.
All right.
What have we missed in this episode? Beyond just, like, did you want to mention anything else about King Gorilla, Nick?
No. I loved the party, and I loved, like, kind of seeing a different side of the guild in a weird way. Like, you get to see a lot of the time with OSI and stuff like that, kind of like a more down-home sort of thing, where it's like, what do you do in your off time? And with the guild, far too often, the only thing that we get that's quote-unquote down home is the monarch, and as we know, the monarch doesn't really ever turn it off. So it's kind of nice seeing them get together outside of things that seem work-related. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, I always really like that stuff. I mean, that's why I always liked Home is Where the Hate Is, like when we first see like that party of them together. Like, it's that same sort of idea. Like, I like seeing them be co-workers, essentially.
Exactly.
It's kind of like that. It scratches that same itch as like when we want to see the outside world, like people who aren't in the whole protagonist antagonist game. Like, wait, what's happening? Is that a UFO? Like, I kind of like seeing like the. It's just that nice other side of the coin,
right? And it kind of makes everyone seem a little bit more full as characters, because if you see them just in their kind of like work mode all the time, it kind of feels a little bland. And in this, you're getting to see kind of like, you know, what's the episode where you get introduced to like Truculops, or what's his name?
The Trucules. One who...
Wait, what?
Trucules.
Trucules.
Trucules, yeah. Or isn't it's early, just... isn't it Taxilure It?
Yeah, like you get to see some of that kind of stuff, and it's also later on you see him at a party where it's like where you're first introduced, where Captain Sunshine is first mentioned, where the monarch's just like saying that he makes Captain Sunshine think that the monarch is invincible.
Right.
And they're just having like a casual conversation between the two, and this is kind of like another one of those things that feels like it's scratching that itch.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's time for quotes.
Me too.
Let's do it.
Yeah? All right, let's do it. I already kind of mentioned my quote, but I'll have to bring it up again. You know what? No, I'll let you guys go first, because I already said one, and I have another one that I'll use in case mine doesn't come up again. So why don't one of you go first?
All right, I'll jump in. So mine, I vaguely mentioned last week, but God, they discover us every other week. I can't keep wiping their memory. It's starting to make them buggy. Watch this. Dean, what day is today? Sagittarius? Hank, what color is my tongue? It's kind of Wednesday, like a light Wednesday.
I love that that gets called back later where they're inside and Hank's like, this is very Wednesday in here, and they're like, pink, he means pink. Like,
he means pink.
Oh, it's so good.
I like how Brock just treated up too. It's like when Dean says, Sagittarius, he's like, good, good.
Yeah. Oh, man. So mine was mentioned earlier, but I feel like it's warranting mentioning again, but it's not going to be my quote, which is when Hank turns around and says, I'm out of gun food. That was great. but mine is... Oh, it's so good. Mine is when 24, or 21, sorry, is, like, talking about getting rid of the wings. And he's like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but all the doorways here have tapered arches. And it's just like, yeah, that would be a nightmare. Like, every doorway, it's just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, I love that one. All right, so since Graham definitely got my backup one, which I was convinced one of you would get, I'll go back to my original of, oh, so that's what happened to the Sevens.
Yeah.
Like, I love it because it's just such an open door of, wait, what was happened? What did you think happened? I love, and then just when Brock is just not a good liar to the boys. Like, he doesn't like lying to them, so he's not good at it. So this, the whole like, wait, so why would people put on our clothes and shrink down and get inside Dad? It's like, look, I don't know.
But that's definitely what happened.
Brock lying is like Brock lying and Brock reading aloud are like two of my favorite versions of Brock.
Oh, he's so good at both of them.
Yeah,
he has no reason to lie. He just kills you instead. Like, I could lie and sneak my way in, or I could just kill this guy and keep moving.
Yep,
it makes sense. It's just really twisted.
For sure.
All right, I think it's time for plugs, and then we can say goodbye. So be sure to listen to After the Hype, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Sam Pye's The Advice Podcast, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. And Demon Days, the actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast at 10 a.m. And that's it for me. Oh, then be sure to check out athpod.com. I know we haven't had articles up in quite a while because we've all been taking a little bit of a much-deserved break, but they are coming up soon. So keep an eye out for those. That is everything for me. Nick, Graham, anything to plug?
New.
No.
Cool. Although, Nick, I think you can pre-order that game you're working on. I don't want to do your plugs for you, but I think you can pre-order it. Just saying.
I mean, you could, whatever it is, but I'll wait until a little bit later to start mentioning it.
Okay. Well, pre-order Nick's game. Figure out what game it is, and then pre-order it.
Just take a stab in the dark.
It's going to go great. All right, so thank you, everybody, for listening very much. Happy 3 or 2 week later, Easter. We're recording on Easter. It's not Easter anymore when you listen to this. But happy Easter to you. And bye!
Adios.